My grandparents on my dad's side were the first generation of their family to be born in America. I'm not sure that their parents, having immigrated from Norway before my grandparents were even born, actually spoke any English. I suspect they did not, or I expect they probably only spoke just a few words. I'm told that my dad never learned Norwegian, and neither did my sister or me. So when my grandparents wanted to plan a surprise or talk about something in secret, they could openly speak in Norwegian because we wouldn't have a clue. And sometimes it's not a different language that we find mysterious, but an accent. My primary care doctor has an accent which I have a lot of trouble with. And maybe it's my poor hearing, but I typically have to look at the nurse for her to translate. It can be hard to communicate with someone when English is their secondary language. For many years, Amy couldn't understand a lot of what my grandma was saying because of her thick Norwegian accent. Most of the time, she would just nod her head and say yes, play along with whatever my grandma would say, and then I would have to translate for her. As you can imagine, that would get Amy in trouble on many occasions. Well, I found out at seminary very early that language is a gift, but it's not my gift. And that can become a barrier for us. That's exactly what happened in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel. And that's what God begins to undo in our second reading today from Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. But before we talk about Acts 2, we need to look backward because Pentecost is not just a New Testament event. It is the fulfillment of an Old Testament feast. And to see the full beauty of today, the day of Pentecost, we actually need to look at all three: the Tower of Babel, the Feast of Weeks, in the Acts 2 Pentecost. The story of Babel in Genesis 11 opens with this spirit of unity. Now, the whole church, the whole earth had one language and the same words. It sounds promising, right? Everyone speaking the same language. But listen to what they do with this gift of unity. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Let us build. Let us make a name. Let us reach into heaven. All of their efforts were not for the glory of God. It was not for the good of their neighbor. It was for themselves to define their own identity apart from their creator God. And God in his mercy plainly says no. He confuses their language and he scatters them. And this sounds sort of like punishment, right? And to a certain extent it really is. But it's also for their protection. Because a humanity united in pride in their own self-interest is a danger to itself. So God scatters them, not to destroy them, but to preserve his promise until the day he would gather them again, but on his own terms. This legacy of Babel still lingers with us today. Sin divides, it confuses, it separates, it isolates. The world that we live in, a world of scattered peoples, fractured politics, divided families. And yet there is that part in each and every one of us that wants to be united, to be brought back together. And that brings us to Pentecost. But before we jump into Acts chapter 2, we must ask ourselves, why were all these people in Jerusalem? Why does Luke list so many of the different nations, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the Egyptians, the Romans? The answer is that the Old Testament feast of Pentecost, known in Hebrew as Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, was a harvest festival. And it was commanded in Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 16. 7 weeks plus one day, or 50 days after the Passover, God's people would gather in Jerusalem to present the first fruits of their harvest of wheat, and give thanks for God's provision. But the Feast of Weeks is more than just celebrating the harvest. In post-biblical Jewish tradition, it commemorated something greater, the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, which Jewish tradition says occurred 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt. So the Feast of Pentecost was not only a celebration of God's physical provision in the harvest, but a remembrance of his spiritual provision in the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, and also a gathering of God's people in Jerusalem to offer their thanks and to hear his word. Now, keeping all of this in mind, let's turn to the Pentecost in the New Testament. Acts 2 opens with the disciples all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind fills the room. Tongues of fire appear and rest on each one of them. And they begin to speak in other languages. But unlike Babel, their languages don't divide. They unite. People from every nation under heaven hear in their own language the mighty works of God. This is not confusion, it's comprehension. This is not rebellion, it's revelation. This is Babel reversed. But it's also more. Pentecost is not only the undoing of Genesis 11, it is also an expansion of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. On the mount, the people saw fire and heard the voice of God. At Pentecost, they see fire and hear God speak through his people. At Sinai, the law was given, and 3,000 perished for idolatry, for worshiping the golden calf. At Pentecost, the gospel is proclaimed, and 3,000 souls are brought from death to life in baptism. At Sinai, the covenant, the Ten Commandments, were written on stone. At Pentecost, the Spirit writes the gospel on human hearts. And the harvest? This time, it's not about wheat. It is about souls, the first fruits of a new creation. What began in the Exodus is now fulfilled. But what made the difference? Maybe the question should be, who made the difference? Jesus. Jesus is the new and better Moses, the mediator of a new covenant. He is the true Passover lamb who was slain. He is the risen Lord, ascended and exalted at the right hand of God. And now he has sent his Spirit as promised, not to bring fear, but to bring the truth. Peter stands up and preaches, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed. But God raised him up. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ." At Babel, the people tried to make a name for themselves. At Pentecost, God exalts the name that is above all names and gathers the people into that name in baptism, in forgiveness, and in fellowship. So what does Pentecost mean for us today? It means the church is not a tower that we build up to God. It is a gift that God sends down to us. It means that unity is not found in language or culture or nationality. It is found in Christ alone. We don't all speak one tongue, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we confess one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And the mission of Pentecost continues even today. In every church where the gospel is preached in the language of the people, in every home where the word is read aloud to the children, In every nation where missionaries proclaim the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is still gathering today. The harvest is still underway. And one day the scattering will be fully undone. As Revelation 7 promises, a great multitude will stand before the throne of God from every nation, from all tribes and languages and peoples, and sing with one voice. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is Pentecost completed. This is Babel undone. This is your future in Christ. Dear friends, today we celebrate much more than tongues of fire. We celebrate the faithfulness of a God who judged pride at Babel, who gave the law at Sinai, and who now pours forth out grace to us from heaven. We celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, the gathering in of the nations, and the unbreakable promise that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And yet, there are some who have never heard. Doing a little research, I found that the complete Bible, the whole New and Old Testament, has been translated into over 770 languages. The New Testament only has been translated into over 1,700 languages. And portions of Scripture in another 1,356 languages, for a total of over 3,800 different languages. And there are also over 4,000 active translation projects happening across the world in 167 countries. And yet, approximately 800 languages still lack access in their native language to the Scriptures. Romans 10, 14 and 15 tell us, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You have the ability and the resources to preach the good news with your gifts of time, talents, and treasures. You too can have beautiful feet, not only by telling others the good news of Jesus Christ, but by supporting these translation projects and the missionaries that are out in the world. So call on the name of the one that you believe in. Rejoice in the fire of the Holy Spirit and go out proclaiming Christ crucified and risen in your native language and by supporting the missionaries and the translation projects all over the world so that Scriptures can go out in every language under heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.